In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Feast of St. Peter is always special for me, not only for the obvious reason that it's my Namenstag, but also because it's the anniversary of my ordination as a deacon 23 years ago and as priest the following year. And I love those words that Jesus spoke to Peter. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wonderful words, which have also been set to music by, I think, Palestrina. And they're words that lead us into the hope and the joy of the gospel. On this rock I will build my church. I have here two pieces of rock, which I brought from Scotland with me to remind me of the happy time we spent there. This is the first one, which I picked up on the beach, not very far from my home. What do you tell me about that? It's granite, that was it's heavy, right? And the texture is not yet smooth, and anything else about it? It's hard. It's hard and heavy and smooth. That's granite for you. You might think that was a sort of rock that Jesus was referring to when he said, on this rock I will build my church. The thing about granite is, because it is so heavy and solid and hard, it's actually rather cold to touch as well. But the thing about it is, because of that texture, it is very difficult to work it into blocks and actually build anything with it. So, if you've got a big lump of it, or a slab, then it can be quite useful. What can you do with a big flat slab of granite? I'm not going to say this, I'm just that's the way it is, but £50, thank you. That's what granite's good for, making kitchen services, or poplar, altars, and gravestones as well, another thing they make with granite. So it's not just like those things alone, Christian, because this rock is so hard to work and to mould together with other bits of granite, it's actually not very good for building church or indeed any other kind of building. Now, I've got another stone here, which I picked up in my garden, and I'm sorry it's a bit small, but it has come in my hand looking. So, anyway, this is it. And this is a bit different. Let's ask that. What can you tell me about that? What does it feel like? It's weight, first of all. It's light, yeah. And dark colour. Sorry? It's some reddish brown. Kind of warm sort of colour, reddish brown. And moving out of your hands like that, what's happening? Not very smooth, and can you feel anything in your hands? Do that. Rub it hard and move it out and then put your hands. Do you have anything? Kind of loose, exactly, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of loose and bits come off. Anyone know what this stone is? My girl is friend of your friend. Sandstone, thank you. Red sandstone, and that's much easier to work in blocks because it's soft. And quite a lot of buildings, and it's quite a common stone as well, and quite a lot of buildings in the west of Scotland are actually made of this sandstone, including my previous church, St. Columba's Arch, near St. Smoke's Tower. If you stand out the front door there, you get a wonderful view looking out over the sea and the islands, and there is a side door, of course, you're
facing directly onto the sea, and so this stone here bears the full brunt of the wind and the rain and the salt spray. And so you might think a soft, crumbly stone like that would be strange thing to build a church out of. And I can tell you, when I was in that church, saying morning or evening prayer on my own sometimes during the week, my prayer would be interrupted by a kind of clunk as a bit of stone flamed off the wall and fell to the floor. I've been doing that for 130 years, so my walls were quite thick, so I think it would carry on doing that for quite a bit longer before we started to worry. So that's what this sandstone is like. And it's a stone that is used very commonly, as I said, for buildings in Western Scotland there, in spite of being soft and crumbly. And I actually think that is more like the rock Jesus was talking about when he said to Peter, "You are my rock, you are the rock, and I will build my church on you." He was thinking more of that kind of stone, the soft, crumbly stone, rather than this hard, unyielding granite. You see, we can draw some parallels between Peter and those rocks. Peter doesn't seem the right sort of building material for a church, just like that soft sandstone didn't. Sometimes he was a bit, well, slow on the uptake. Do you remember that time at the Last Supper when Jesus started washing the disciples' feet? And Peter's reaction was, "You, Lord, wash my feet? Never." He clearly hadn't a clue what was going on. And he would open his mouth and put his foot in it, or rush off and do something before his brain was engaged. Do you remember that time in the Garden of Gethsemane when he took out a sword and chopped off the priest's servant's ear? Not a very wise thing to do, but there's Peter for you. He also had his crumbly moments when, for instance, he got out of the boat to walk to Jesus, and halfway across the water his leg failed him as he began to sink, and he called out, "Lord, save me." And of course, most of all was that moment after the arrest of Jesus, and the high priest's servant said to Peter, "You were one of his disciples. You were with him, weren't you?" And Peter said, "It wasn't me." He was so frustrated on it. "It wasn't me, another idea, and he ran away." Peter let Jesus down at this crucial moment. And it definitely was a crucial moment, because the word crucial means cross-like. That was Peter. And yet, Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church." You see, when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter was the one who said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God." There was that there. That was the rock on which Jesus built. And because he sees then beyond those crumbly bits to what is solid, to what is of real worth in Peter, then he can build on it. Peter has been given this insight, which he declares at Caesarea, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That is the rock in Peter's makeup on which Jesus can build. And then after the resurrection, the risen Lord meets the broken Peter, ashamed of his denials, and says to him, "Feed my sheep." Then, in those words, Jesus enables Peter to put all his failings and mistakes and shortcomings behind him and allow his true faith and commitment to come to the fore. In that encounter with the risen Lord, Jesus restores Peter to new life,
and invites him into the life of the resurrection. And all of that is why Peter is such a special person. Not only for me, who shares his name, and as you get to know me, you might think I share more than his name. Peter is joy and hope and encouragement for all Christians. And this morning I would say especially to you younger members of the church, setting off on the next stage of your pilgrimage, remember Peter. We are all like him sometimes. We get it wrong. We sometimes don't understand what Jesus wants of us, and we even let him down. But as he did with Peter, he sees our true worth. He sees how we can be his disciples. We too are the rock on which he builds his church. Amen.